Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And with me, we have the pleasure to have a James Thompson, Coordinator for Special Projects for the Illustrated Gallery in Fort Washington. The thing, James, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Is because you intrigued us with mentioning Wilmington as capital of illustration in America. That's a very nice title, but tell us about that. Why is that, and your relationship to this concept of Wilmington, capital of illustration in America?
Yes, well, thank you for having me, first of all. It's a great pleasure to be here. I'm from Wilmington originally.
And, there you go.
When I was young, I took some art classes at the Delaware Arts Center, so I have this background in Wilmington area art, which is centered around illustration. And about a year ago, I talked with Alexei Natchev, who's the art, the director of the illustration department at the Delaware College of Art and Design. We spoke about doing an exhibit at his school with some of this art that the Illustrated Gallery has. And you know, it's hard to organize these things, but we talked again in June, and we decided we would do this event, which turns out to be, you know, fairly elaborate. And then it takes more organization that could be done in that short amount of time. So we're talking with the college now, and we hope to arrange this so that in a year, we'll be able to bring one of the largest, most colorful exhibitions of illustration art to Wilmington, and it would be focused on Howard Pyle, the man who made Wilmington the capital of illustration art in America.
Okay.
And Pyle's story is fascinating. People know about it to a certain extent. But not only did he produce his own art over 30 years, but he taught some of the best illustrators in the following generation, and they in turn taught another generation of illustrators. And we were going to bring 60 or so of these paintings by Pyle, his students, and his students' students, and show how his influence in illustration art carried through this 50 or 60 years. Fascinating story.
It is fascinating indeed, and we're talking about a huge, it sounds like a massive exhibition, and that's the reason why it's taking quite some time. So I'm glad in a way that you are waiting a little bit, but certainly this program can set the tone in refreshing people's memories, because some of us might not know why this is a capital illustration of America. So I wouldn't mind, if you will, to bring us up to speed in terms of why and what names, who's associated to this movement, because it became, and tell me if you disagree, it became kind of a movement, don't you think?
Yes, well, the golden age of illustration took place from roughly 1880 to 1917, which was the beginning of World War One, and Howard Pyle was the leader, a leader in the illustration art field for most of that time until his death in 1911. And this was a, we know about the golden age of illustration, but it was also the Gilded Age, the period of great industrial development and growth in the country. And what was happening was that as the country grew west, companies like the DuPont Company expanded and created national networks, and they created advertising programs. They needed artists that would illustrate their products. There were magazines. And there was this huge demand for illustrators. And Howard Pyle thought, along with other people, that more training needed to be given to create illustrators with the capabilities to properly tell these stories.
And so he considered that they were not necessarily well trained, or they needed a different kind of skills for
that.
That's
right. Yes, there were places like the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Art in Philadelphia that taught classical methods of painting, the fine arts, but the illustration art is storytelling and pictures, and Pyle cultivated a special technique which made him so successful. And what that technique was to use slashing lines and alternating lights and dark fields to create the impression of impending action. And when you look at his pictures and you see these, these impressions of impending actions, you're
there's
curious.
Always movement,
yes.
or the sensation of movement.
Somebody's going to fall off the cliff. What's happening here?
Yes, and you kind of guess that that is actually what is about to happen.
Right, and he wanted to train artists to tell the stories that way. And he thought, in when he opened his school, he had hundreds of applicants, and he could choose the very best. And his students were terrific. Of you know the names of. People like, well, here in Wilmington, it's, there was Frank Schoonover and Stanley Arthurs, and nearby was the Wyeth family with N.C. Wyeth and Harvey Dunn. There was a huge number of these brilliant artists who created the most fascinating pictures.
And, of the time.
Pyle taught them how to use his techniques to tell stories, and that's what made them especially good.
Right. How did you get acquainted or interested in these efforts, James? Why illustration? Is there something in your background, maybe? Are you an artist yourself?
Well, I did take courses at the Delaware Arts Center when I was young and in college. And
particularly in illustration, to illustration?
Yeah, I did some of that.
Okay.
I painted some, and I wrote a book. I have a publishing company, Commonwealth Books of Virginia, and we've published a number of books.
Oh, tell us about that.
Yes, it's a small publishing company, and we don't do that many books. But one of them I did a couple years ago was this wonderful book that David Burnt wrote about his father, Bayard Taylor Burnt, who was the dean of the art community in Wilmington from 1950 to his death in the late 1970s. And in the process of preparing that book, I talked with Charles Almond, who turns out to be probably the most knowledgeable art historian in Wilmington about Wilmington history. So I began to know these things.
I see.
The other year, a year ago, I wrote a book called Painting America's Portrait, which is about how art evolved, how the reproduction and the creation of pictures evolved during the Golden Age. And while I was doing that, I met Jordan Berman, who's the proprietor of the Illustrated Gallery in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. We talked, and his gallery is the largest probably in the world and has some of the best art that's available in this genre. And so we've worked on some projects like this one at the Delaware College of Art and Design, which highlights the art and the artists so that people appreciate why it's so, I mean, they like it. They can see why they can see that these pictures are fun to see, like if you go to the Delaware Art Museum or the Brandywine River Museum.
Yeah, there's always, it's got like a very distinctive personality. You can actually tell where there's a Pyle, like you can tell where there's a Wyatt.
Yeah, well, I mean, people like these pictures, and why? What is it about them that attracts them? And that's one of the things.
That's a good point. What do you, in your experience, and being working as specifically with the Illustrated Gallery in Fort Washington, what do people tell you? Why do they feel attracted to this kind of work?
Well, that's a good question. I think there's no one answer, but one of the things that is attractive is that these are pictures of activities, which they're curious in a way, but they also reflect American history. And there are a lot of pictures that the Wyeth or that the Pyle people painted, Pyle himself, about the American Revolution and the Civil War. Every episode of American life has been illustrated in one story or another. And these artists tell the pictures so well. They use expression, they use posturing to create action. And you look at them, and I mean, there's a certain amount of being able to relate when you see some of the expressions of these people.
Right.
That you see the emotions that people themselves feel today. And so it draws them in. These were all
And I was trying in my mind right now to make a comparison in between an illustration of this nature and a picture.
Yes.
There's, of course, reality goes to the side of the picture, yet you might not relate the same way or as well, perhaps. Do you agree? Is that like, I don't know, is there artistry, the thing that brings people's attention? What do you think about that comparison?
One of the things you may be asking, I'm not altogether sure, but, you know, during the, at the turn of the century, photography became an important, became commercially available.
Right.
To be used and reproduced.
So they were coexisting in a way.
Yes, and so there was a certain expectation that photography would replace illustration because it was transparent to the real action. But when you look at the photograph and you look at the painting, the artist had an ability to stage things in ways that photography didn't duplicate. And they could use coloring and shading and expression, capture things in ways that photographs weren't quite as, they did better in other areas. Precise reproductions, but that's not what really made the pictures that were in illustrated magazines appealing. It was the excitement of the action that was staged through posing and the composition and light patterns.
So are we talking about, think about this question, are we talking about different audiences then that are receiving illustration and this kind of action?
Well, that's pictures? A very good point because you know, the people that were publishing these magazines, they discovered new markets all the time.
And
by 1905 or 1910, when color imaging was available, there became a big market for children's books. They were, I mean, many of them were fairy tales or nursery rhymes, but there were men's magazines, there were women's magazines, there were all these different...
All these kinds of different options.
Right, and there were different artists did different types of works. I mean, the women artists who painted stories about wives and women in their lives, actually, some of them made more money than any of the men artists.
we'll continue talking about that. Excuse my interruption. To re-engage with the audience, to let them know that you are listening to Delaware State of the Arts News Talk, 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. We have the pleasure of having an in-depth conversation about Wilmington being the capital of illustration in America with James Thompson. He is a coordinator for special projects for the Illustrated Gallery in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. And you began talking about this potential exhibition coordinated with the Delaware College of Art and Design. But we were talking about audiences, James. We were talking about illustration. In terms of the future for illustration based on your experience, how do you see that moving along? Do you still see interest for this kind of illustration? Sometimes you see revamps in the arts world and some of the things, but you tell us your impression about the future of illustration based on your experience.
Well, there's a great new form of illustration, which I'm not especially knowledgeable about, but this is in the computer videos. The Delaware College of Art and Design has, you know, it's a terrific school. It carries on an important tradition that was founded here in America, in Wilmington, in the 1930s and then 1900. And they're teaching the next generation, the current generation, to use techniques of illustration. And I guess that they're, I'm sure that many of them are creating computer game illustrations and things like that. But the same techniques that made the pictures interesting 100 and more years ago are probably going to make those pictures that these young artists are producing today interesting to the viewers. And that was one of the reasons that we're working with the, I think it's terrific to get together with the college and Alexei and John Hawkins and be able to bring this art heritage back to Wilmington and show these young people how the best artists of those times attracted interest, and I'm sure that they'll learn from them. Hopefully, we'll have an opportunity.
And you know, there's always these retro movements where people go back to the origins of things, and illustration certainly without Pyle might not have the same experience. Now, going back to your research and going back to those individuals that were associated with PILE, tell us names and things that come to mind in terms of why Wilmington keeps being this capital illustration of America. Give us a few examples.
That's a good question. The history, there are several institutions here in Wilmington which are quite significant. Of course, maybe the leading one from a national standpoint is the Delaware Art Museum.
Sure.
And it has the largest collection of PILE pictures. Thanks to contributions that were made by PILE students and his wife and other collectors who donated them to the, it was called the Delaware Art Center until it was accredited in, I think it was 1972, and it became the Delaware Art Center. But that's a foundation institution here in Wilmington that is terrific with the knowledge they have and the collections and the archives of information they have. I go down there fairly frequently and pour through records to see things about details. And then, of course, there's the studio group, which owns Howard Pyle's gallery on Franklin Street. And it's possible to arrange visits there and to see where Pyle himself painted and where Wyeth and Dunn and Frank Schoonover and Stanley Arthurs and people like that painted. And when you go into these places and you actually are there, you can see their easels where they worked, and there's some artworks there still. It's very exciting. It kind of brings it to life in a way. And, you know, I think we all want to have some familiarity with the heritage of our community. And it's kind of fun walking around in one place or another and seeing where these pictures were done and where these people lived. And I think this is an opportunity, working on this exhibition with the college, to bring those things back to life and show the community today where these things were and how they evolved. There were lots of people that contributed to it. And each one of them is interesting in their own way. And so that's one of the things we'd like to highlight, not just a bunch of pictures, but the fabric of the heritage, which makes it lively and vital for Wilmington. It still can be. I think it's there's enough of it still here that we can go back and bring it back to life, which I think Jordan and the Illustrated Gallery and the Delaware Art Museum and the college would all like to get together. We're all working together to do that.
It sounds like an arts slash oral history project. If you can bring individuals to these locations where these magnificent illustrators got inspiration, and then you correlate that to the pictorial experience, it makes sense from a different standpoint. Don't you think? It's more than anything else. I wouldn't say that it's an oral history project, because it's a way of transmitting the livelihood of a location, but also connecting the artist in a more holistic way, don't you think?
Yes, well, that's a very good point. That, I mean, there are a number of people. Mary Hollihan is the curator of the PILE collection and the illustration of the Delaware Art Museum. Very knowledgeable person, wonderful, fun to listen to, knows there are other people that are not in Wilmington that can come here. But, you know, art is not enjoyable enough just to go walk through a room and look at a bunch of pictures.
Right.
Pictures become interesting when you understand the fabric in which they were created.
Yeah, the context where they emerged.
Right, and we have an opportunity to do that. This could be a whole community effort, not just a bunch of pictures hung up in a gallery.
Yeah, that might not make sense for many. Now, those listening, I'm sure, James, that more than one might be thinking, I'm interested. I'd like to be part of this effort. I'd like to maybe donate, help, dedicate some time. For those interested, is there a way for them to connect with you? Do you have like an email address or maybe a phone number that you would like to provide so they get in contact?
We would love to talk to people that were interested to support this, either by contributing time, or it's going to cost some money for the insurance. But I can be reached by an email address at jct@commonwealthbooks.org. That's my a business email address. Mm-hmm.
Say that again for
so
people.
JCT mm-hmm. is in Thompson at commonwealthbooks.org. Mm-hmm. And I get all the emails that go there. And also my telephone number, I'm in mm-hmm. Richmond, Virginia, most of the time, is 703-307-7715. And I'm coordinating this. I'm talking with the college and mm-hmm. the gallery and mm-hmm. other entities that will make this a community event. And I'd love to talk to people that had an interest in it and share some of the concepts that we're working with.
There you go. And it sounds like a fascinating project. So I hope that, and you're thinking that this might be flying at some point, maybe in the last portion of 2018, James?
That's the idea. We're going to meet early next week and begin to solidify a plan. It's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah, indeed.
But we've begun, and we'll have a terrific, if we can work out some of the details, we'll have one of the greatest art shows in downtown Wilmington in decades, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm.
It sounds precisely like that. And with that, I'm going to have to thank you. People say that time flies whenever you're having fun. We're getting a glimpse of illustration for Wilmington and in America. And with that, we need to thank you for your time of being here today. And I hope that people connect with you to help facilitate or just donate maybe time, if not anything else, to this excellent project that it sounds happening in the last portion of 2018. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me. I greatly appreciate it.